This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Happy Friday. No Willard today. Dibs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Talking some Giants as they get ready to open up the second half in about an hour in Toronto. Justin Verlander on the bump. We will get back to the Giants in a sec, Dibs. But we do have an update that we want to make sure everybody knows about. Because we have a very special guest joining us in 2 hours at 5 o'clock. You and I were out in Vegas on Monday and Tuesday, part of NBA Summer League, and there we caught up often with Raymond Ritter, Warriors, I mean, the best PR guy in the entire NBA, and he was helping us get a bunch of Warriors-related guests Monday and Tuesday while we were out there. The one that we couldn't quite wrangle was Moses Moody. He's going to call in and join us at 5 o'clock, Dibs.
Looking forward to that and asking him about his off-season work and with whom he will now do yoga, which is jogging combined with yoga that he did with Kevon Looney, and just his thoughts on Kevon being gone and, you know, what he's looking at for this upcoming year where, you know, he's got his contract and he's all set and Kuminga's up in the air, but what does he see as his role now going forward as he is ready to enter year five
and
in the association?
A couple of things that kind of got swept under the rug, I think, related to Moses Moody of late because we've just been so steadfast in Kuminga. First of all, Moses Moody recently was named to the NBA Players Association Foundation's Board of Directors. He's a board of director for the NBA PA. That's a pretty big deal. And he also... it was announced that he had a torn UCL ligament in his shooting thumb, and he played the end of the regular season and the entire postseason with that. He had surgery on it in May, and he's recovering from that, and he has been working out of late in Vegas, not with the Summer League team necessarily, but in Vegas with the at Warriors headquarters. But a couple of big things. He was dealing with a torn ligament in his shooting thumb. Maybe that explains his postseason shooting woes. And he's also named to the NBA PA Board of Directors. Those are big deals.
Big deals, and that's pretty awesome to be a part of that governing body of the Players Association. And so maybe he can weigh in on what he thinks as a player of the new CBA and the second apron and how it's affecting, you know, what's going on around the association, which is restricted free agents are kind of in a holding pattern. They're a little bit stuck, and you know the money that used to be paid isn't really being paid anymore, and you got big-time star players who are being bought out. Lillard, obviously, with the injury, was kind of a natural one, but even Bradley Beal, who clearly didn't want to be, or Phoenix didn't want him to be a part of what they're trying to do, so he gets bought out.
Trade him because he had a no-trade
exactly.
clause.
So it's kind of an interesting time for players in the association.
Yeah, so interesting to pick Moody's brain about that. That's coming up at 5 o'clock right here on Willard and Dibs. But we had been talking about the Giants, Dibs, and the question we've been throwing out at 888-957-9570. If the Giants are to achieve what they want and what they hope to do this second half, which is essentially make the postseason at least, who has to be their MVP? And we threw out our names. We both agreed Devers has got to be the guy. We both had various pitchers on the list as well. I got this list that came in from the 650, which features some names that we already mentioned. We mentioned Devers. You mentioned Verlander. You mentioned Doval, who appears on the list from the 650, courtesy of the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. There are two other names, though, that we did not bring up that the 650 did that I want to ask you about, Dibs. Who comes in at number two on the 650's list in terms of who has to be the Giants' MVP? Elliot Ramos. Elliot Ramos, I mean, I think it's a similar story to what I talked about with Jung-Hoo Lee and what we both talked about with Rafi Devers. I guess I would say I have more faith in Ramos than, say, I do in Jung-Hoo Lee to figure it out and to be good in the second half. But there's no doubt that if you have like someone like Ramos and Devers going together in your lineup the rest of the year, wherever they bat, whether it's 3-4 or Ramos leads off and Devers is 2 or Devers is 3 or whatever it is, if those two dudes are going off at the same time, this feels like an entirely different offense as well.
And if you add in, you know, Ramos and Chapman and Jung-Hoo Lee, yeah, they have enough hitting if everybody's going at the same time. And the problem with Ramos is I feel like he hit a little bit of a wall. Maybe it's because he needed the All-Star break and he needed that week off. But you go back all the way to June 11th, even before that, you go back to June 6th, and he was batting .296. He came off a 3-for-5, and I know that's just batting average. Not everybody's in love with that as a stat, but it shows how often you get hits in baseball. And so since then, since June 6th, he's lost 34 points on his batting average, and it looks like he was playing a little bit fatigued. And, you know, he's going to get to a spot pretty soon here where he'll have more plate appearances than he ever has before in the majors, and that's only really last year, but he's played a ton. He's out there virtually every game, so hopefully the week off gave him a little bit of a refresh and gets him coming back and being the hitter that he was earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, Ramos, all-star last year, the second half was a little bit of a struggle. He was nowhere near as good in the second half last year as he was in the first half. So maybe if you're on the pessimistic side, you feel like, well, same kind of things happening again for Elliot Ramos. We will see, but there is no doubt. I mean, you need at least a couple of the bats to kind of carry you. And those candidates are Devers, it's Ramos, it's Chapman, it's Adamas, it's I guess you could throw Jung-Hoo Lee in there as well.
Right.
But of those five guys, you feel like those five guys are at least capable of being above average hitters. You need, I don't know, two or three of them to do that for the entire rest of the second half. Otherwise, you're going to run into a lot of situations again where you're asking the pitching staff to just be perfect every single game.
You just need two or three at a time, really. You can't expect, you know.
You can swap out.
Exactly. Yeah. Just depending on who's going great and who's not. And, you know, I mentioned Devers, who has a negative wins above replacement with the Giants. And Elliot Ramos has a 1.3 war, which is really good. But then you look at what he's done of late, and he is 8 for his last 46 in July with one double and one homer. So just 8 hits so far this month.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field.
What a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Month and only two extra base hits, and before he was ripping the cover off the ball, so you need him to get a little bit back to where he was in April, May, and June.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it. You're right. The other name on the 650 that came up again on the 650's list about who's got to be the MVP of the second half for the Giants in order for them to figure this thing out and go to the postseason. Who checks in at number four on the 650's list is also a name that we did not mention, Patrick Bailey. Patrick Bailey obviously is consistently been one of the Giants' better, or one of the league's better defensive catchers, and we know what he's capable of there. Maybe has had a couple of lowlights here of late, but generally still a very positive defender at the catcher position, and the bat has been going a little bit better of late. Of course, we all remember the walk-off inside the park home run, which was not a fluke. I mean, he hit that ball incredibly hard, and he has been swinging the bat a whole lot better as well. But if Patrick Bailey were to just hit, I mean, if Bailey hit 250 for the rest of the season, Dibs, we'd be singing an entirely different tune about that position, and that maybe isn't going to be the bat that would win you a lot of games, but then suddenly you have Bailey in the 7, 8, 9 hole,
right,
and
right.
He's hitting like that, then that sets things up for the top of the order, or he drives in a couple of runs when the middle of the order sets things up for him. That would also make a pretty big difference. I don't know how much I can count on that.
Well, in July, he's hitting 242.
All right.
So if you would take what he's done in July the rest of the year, I think you would. 242, which is, you know, better than what he's been all year.
I'll take 242.
He's up to 203 now on the year.
There we go, Patty.
It took a 242 to get him above the Mendoza line. He has a homer and a double in 10 games this month. So you're never going to look for Patrick Bailey to be an offensive spark plug or a juggernaut, but if you can just hit 242 with a little bit of occasional pop, and the one home run is the inside the park home run, which I was looking at the StatCast numbers on that yesterday. That's a home run in 29 out of 30 parks, and really it's a home run out of 30 out of 30 because
yep.
It turned out to be a home run.
Yep.
But for StatCast, they don't look at the inside the park home run and compute it the same way, but that ball was absolutely smoked, and you know, he's showing signs of some timely hitting. He's had some sacrifice flies in there as well. So, yeah, 242, if Bailey can just be, you know, not even average, but just don't be an automatic out, that can help your offense.
Looking at the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union, gave us a list in terms of Giants MVPs. Had some similar ones. Patrick Bailey's in there, although actually this is a pretty unique list. No mentions Bob Melvin, interestingly enough. Also mentions Dominic Smith, big believer in Dominic Smith defensively at first base. Also the front office, kind of similar to what I said with Buster Posey. And then what No says the last one is the local Giants fan base, no tourists, no visiting opponent fans. Giants must have a home field advantage. I don't know how much I feel about that one because the Giants have generally had a pretty good home field advantage, even when they haven't been a very, very good baseball team.
Right, and I think the only time that that's really happened this year is when the Dodgers came in. And it's going to happen again the next time the Dodgers come to town because there are a lot of Dodger fans who live up here, transplants, and the Dodgers are the most popular team in all of baseball right now. So they're good. They're defending champs. Their fans travel. Their fans who don't live here aren't that far away. So that's going to be one that Giants fans are going to have to tolerate and realize that even though the Giants are good and compelling, Dodger fans are still going to show up to your yard. It's just the reality.
Yeah, no doubt. Time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. Maybe coming up next, Dibs, we can get into a case of best case, worst case for these Giants in the second half because as confident as we are that they should go to the postseason, I think there is a pretty wide range of outcomes for this Giants team that's possible, and we can get into that when we come back. We can also extend that to all the teams here in the Bay. Plus, we will give away the final prize of our All-Star Week prize blowout this afternoon. We're giving away one lucky listener a Giants prize pack, which includes a Matt Chapman bobblehead presented by UCSF Health, a Giants puffer vest presented by Ghirardelli, and a Jung-Hoo Lee hooded shirt presented by Life Plus. Listen at 4:30 to learn how you can win. And we're sponsored by Frontier Ford. Time's ticking at Frontier Ford. The $7,500 federal EV tax credit disappears soon, and our huge inventory of Mustang Mach-Es is ready to roll. Over 60 Mach-Es in stock, all loaded with tech and range. Don't wait for the deadline. Grab yours now. Save $7,500 and drive electric today at Frontier Ford. Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you. More next on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
game day or any day. Your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr, we haven't heard from Steve in a while.
No.
I'm sure he's enjoying his offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know that he had the interview with Scott Osler that was reported yesterday. I think you had that, or Willard had it a couple days ago or whatnot. So he's around, but... And we've seen him in a Valkyries game or two, and we saw him at a Giants game, thankfully not wearing Dodger gear. So Steve's been around, but this is coming up on the real downtime for the NBA, and I know the Warriors are already into offseason mode after their summer league ouster yesterday.
Yeah, I think they play in a consolation game.
Oh, like they do? They have one more game?
I think they have one more, but they're out of the running to try to win it. They're not going to hoist the Summer League Championship trophy,
right,
Gibbs.
Which
I know we're all very broken up about.
I don't know if they've ever won Summer League.
They did one year. 2013, I think.
Okay. I take your word for it.
I remember because it was how Kent Bazemore got a career in the NBA. He was great in the Summer League that year.
There you go.
And he got a contract out of it. But I think it was 2013. Before the Warriors were good, and I remember being fired up about it because at that point, Dibs, as a Warrior fan, I had never really been treated to anything special in terms of like actually winning championships.
An actual title.
So that to me felt like, oh, okay, we're on the come up now.
That's
and
so funny.
Actually ended up being right. Not that any of the players that played there necessarily were the driving force behind what turned into the dynasty, but I do remember in the moment being pretty excited about it. But yeah, Warriors will not be winning the Summer League trophy this year, but I think they do have one more game coming up in the Summer League. Moses Moody has been in Vegas, has not been, of course, playing in the Summer League, but he's been there training and working as he continues to recover from that surgery on a ligament in his right thumb that hampered him in the postseason, and he's going to come up with us at 5 o'clock, so a little more than an hour and a half away right here on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibs, Grandy and Dibs with you as we get ready for that. We've been talking a lot about the Giants, though, Dibs, as we get ready for the start of the second half. Verlander on the bump in Toronto today for the Giants, and one thing that you wanted to throw out there for all of our Bay Area teams, or at least the main three, the Giants, the Niners, and the Warriors, is a case of best case, worst case. And I think this is interesting for the rest of the Giants season because I think there's a pretty wide range of outcomes that are on the table for the Giants. Obviously, this is the case if you were to just, you know, say, well, X, Y, Z, they all get hurt and they miss the rest of the season.
Right.
That's always possible. But the way the Giants' season has gone, Dibs, it almost feels like they've played two separate seasons. It's been really good to start and then just mediocre ever since then. And I think it sets up what could be a second half that goes in a number of different directions.
It could, and you know, likely it'll be neither the best case nor the worst case scenario. And as I was laying this out to you before the show, I want to take injury out of it because worst case scenario for any of the three teams is your key guys get hurt.
Yeah.
And that's the worst case scenario, especially when you get into like the NBA. And you know, last year the Warriors, the worst case scenario for the Warriors in the postseason was you don't have Steph Curry. And we saw how that went. You went 0-4 without Steph Curry. Eh. That's worst case scenario. So I took injury out of it. And just looking at the Giants, now best case scenario would be you make the playoffs, you win the World Series. So how do you go about doing that with this Giants team realistically? Now, you don't have to win the division, although you could. You're not so far out of it that you can't win the division.
Six games back.
For me, the best case scenario is Logan Webb and Robbie Ray continue to do what they're doing. Verlander figures it out. Landon Roop has his chariot not turned back into a pumpkin. And your bullpen continues to be as dominant as it has been. And then on the hitting side, Devers becomes Devers. Adames continues to become Adames. Chapman hits like he has most of the year, and he becomes Chapman. And then you get Jung-Hoo Lee to be like he was earlier in the year, and then all your other ancillary pieces, they chip in. You know, it's Yaz, yeah. and it's Wilmer, and it's Bailey, and it's that ball got Schmidt on, and, you know, it's Elliot Ramos. All your other hitters, they play well. They don't have to be all-stars, but for me, the best case is your offense turns into an actual legitimate top 10 offense, and your pitching stays healthy and stays the way it is. I think that if this team can get into the playoffs with Robbie Ray and Logan Webb pitching great, Verlander figures it out, the bullpen, you already have great roles in the bullpen, and you've got great arms in the bullpen. If your hitting can really perform like the back of the baseball card would indicate, that best case scenario, this team could be very dangerous in the playoffs.
Best case scenario, this team is one of the best teams in baseball.
Right.
Like, if things play out the way you laid them out, now it's a bunch of ifs. I can hear people driving in their cars right now, home from work or getting ready for a weekend out of town, whatever you're doing, drive safe. But I can hear people saying, well, I mean, come on, Dibs. That's if. That's the game that we're playing.
We're playing best case, worst case.
There's a lot of ifs there, but there's no doubt that if those things, and not even every single one of them, if the vast majority of them turn out in the Giants' favor, then this is one of the best teams, not just in the National League West, not just in the National League, but in the entire Major League Baseball. Like, they have the talent, and if the talent performs to a level with which they have in the past, right? If Robbie Ray pitches how he has in the first half, if Logan Webb continues being Logan Webb, if Adames, performs the way he has the last month or what he was for Milwaukee last year, if Devers is just who Devers is, if Chapman is just who Chapman is, then this becomes a team that isn't just a threat to win the wild card. It's a team that's a threat to win the National League.
Like, absolutely.
It's not that difficult if you see some of these pieces all hit at once to see them really threaten for something big.
Especially if the pitching can get that third and fourth starter who can be, you know, as good, not maybe not as good as the top two, but your top two pitchers are obviously all-stars. They're two of the eight best starters in the National League. So if you can add Verlander, if he can take a couple steps up, if Roop can continue on that trajectory and the bullpen stays as the bullpen has been, well, then you're not looking at such a wild what-if scenario. The biggest what-ifs, and we laid this out before, it's Adames and it's Devers. If those guys can play like they have in the past and can really get hot with the bat, then I think the best-case scenario is not such a wild card. Now, the worst-case scenario you mentioned Robbie Ray coming off of Tommy John. Maybe he starts to get a little bit fatigued late in the year.
Yep.
Landon Roop and Hayden Birdsong are going to be pitching into unknown territory innings-wise. Justin Verlander, and I'm going to borrow from Priest in San Jose, he's too old.
Well, I know you said let's just throw like injuries off the table, assume health.
No, but, like, injuries, yeah.
Verlander, if he's healthy, you got to see how he pitches. But two, it's very realistic to just assume that he's not going to make every start the rest of the way.
And it's also realistic to think that a 42-year-old pitcher may have lost it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he may be at a point where he's just a 42-year-old pitcher who doesn't have it anymore. And Roop and Birdsong are going to be pitching into innings territory they've never seen before. Camilo Doval has been a little bit of an enigmatic closer at times where, you know, he's lost it. He actually got sent down last year. So it's not far-fetched to think.
And didn't have the job out of camp.
Right. He might. I mean, if he gets into a struggle spot again, then your bullpen all of a sudden isn't what you thought it would be. Devers, maybe with these injuries and him not being 100% and the ballpark, maybe he's not able to make it happen. And then offensively, Casey Schmidt is now a regular starter, something he's never been before. Patrick Bailey's barely hitting 200. And Elliot Ramos has had a really tough July.
Jung-Hoo Lee can't adjust.
I don't know what's happened to Jung-Hoo Lee. Maybe we've all overrated him. So the worst case scenario is the guys who are struggling don't figure it out offensively, and your starting pitching starts to regress a little bit more to the mean. And if those things happen, then you may not even be a wild card team.
No. If those things happen, you're not making the playoffs.
Right. So
I don't see a way how you possibly could.
If I look at best case, worst case, which is more likely?
That's what I was going to ask.
The worst case is probably more likely.
I hate that I agree with you.
But honestly, and you said this before, what is going to happen is going to be in between the two.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to have all these hitters like have great years. And I think back to 2021 where that was what a best case scenario year looked like.
Oh, absolutely.
You won 107 games.
Who could have predicted any of that?
You had like eight guys with career years. And you
had
great
pitching.
Brandon
Crawford was like a legit MVP candidate.
Brandon Belt had 29 home runs.
And it would have been 30 if he didn't get hurt at the end of the year.
Right. So if you want to think about what a best case scenario year looks like, that's what it was. And unfortunately, you had to go up against the Dodgers, which is kind of a joke.
Yeah.
107 faces 106, and you lose in five games. But that's what a best case scenario year looks like.
Yeah. Best case and worst case. And the same thought was running through my head when you asked it yourself, what's more likely out of those two? And it's probably the worst case, which I don't know what that means necessarily. Does that mean I'm not terribly confident in the team the rest of the year? Because I feel like I am, but I also feel like that worst case scenario you laid out is way more likely.
It's more likely in that, like, if I put 10 things down on best case and I put 10 things down on worst case and you looked at all of them, the worst case outcomes are probably more likely in many ways. Like, you know, Casey Schmidt is now being asked to be an everyday player. And he's had some great spots, but he's a hot and cold, streaky hitter. And as much as we want to say, oh, Rafi Devers, I mean, the player he was in Boston, that's the Rafi Devers that we're going to get. You may not get that, and you may not get it until next year, and it may take a long time for him to adjust.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
And the other one, I'm sorry, Granny, is the Rupen Birdsong factor where, and you laid this out before about their innings, and if you get them into August and September and, you know, they're up around 130, 140 innings in an area that they've never been before.
They're just blowing past their career highs at that point.
Right, and it's hard to imagine that these young arms are going to be able to hold up and, you know, be great going into October.
Well, you guys had Landon Roop on, I don't know if it was last week or the week before. It was somewhat recently, and you guys asked him the question of, have you guys had any conversations about innings limits and like what the plan is? Because you're approaching your career high in terms of most innings thrown in a single professional season. And at least at the point of that interview, there hadn't been any conversation, at least between the Giants and the player. Maybe the conversations have been happening between, you know, Buster Posey and the coaching staff, and nothing has gotten back to Landon Roop. But he seemed totally unbothered by the extreme likelihood that he's going to be pitching into uncharted waters here
right.
pretty soon.
And that's great, and you want him to be unbothered by that, but at the same time, when you get into those uncharted waters, it's going to be up to him to figure out how he feels and how he's able to go about doing it. And I did like what he said about his time in between starts where, you know, the first day is just all massage, and he doesn't even go outside, and then he gradually ramps back up, and he works out. And so I do think they have a plan to help keep him fresh, and also having a really good bullpen makes it so he's not going to be under a lot of pressure to go 6 and 7 innings in a game.
What I think the other side effect of, because one thing that you didn't really mention a lot of in terms of like the worst case, maybe other than Camilo Doval, but for the most part, Dibs, even in the worst case scenario, we still view the bullpen as a strength. We still think that the bullpen is going to, you know, do their job. Tyler Rogers is great. We got a text a little bit ago on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. Eric from the 707 asking, why can't Rogers be the closer? Like, and that is an interesting question. He has been so good for a handful of years now. The Giants don't feel great with him in the ninth inning, although at times they have used him there when the normal closer can't go. But Dibs, even in your worst case scenario situation examples, other than Doval, I don't think you said anything else about the bullpen. So even when things go poorly, you think the bullpen is still going to be good. But maybe one of the side effects of the issues that the starting pitching might have that you laid out in your worst case scenario, like Landon Roop and Birdsong hit innings limits and they start to struggle, and Verlander just is too old and can't put it together. And other than Logan Webb and Robbie Ray, even if those two guys are still great, you have questions, major questions, 3, 4, and 5 in your rotation. Then what happens at that point is you tax your bullpen, and you're asking those guys to cover so many more innings. And by the time late September comes around, and maybe even the postseason, Guys like Tyler Rogers and Ryan Walker and Randy Rodriguez and Camilo Doval and all those guys suddenly get to a point where they're like, I don't have much juice left in my arm anymore. And therefore, that bullpen, who we currently view as a major strength, might turn into, at the very least, less of a strength if that's what happens to the starting pitching.
It depends on how much you tax them. And, you know, right now, so far this year, they've done a really good job, the starters have, of really protecting the bullpen and not having them be used that much. Yeah. I'm just looking at the numbers on the year, and they're 23rd in baseball in bullpen innings. They've only thrown 332 innings. The
Pretty
Dodgers
good.
Have thrown 100 more innings out of their bullpen, and a lot of that's because they've had to go to, you know, some openers,
yeah.
and they've had starters who have really struggled. But the Giants, as a bullpen in ERA, are number one with a 3.14, slightly better than the Padres. So,
and those numbers are correlated, like ERA
absolutely.
And number of innings pitched.
Absolutely.
They are connected.
They are, yeah. and you know, you look at a bullpen like Houston. Houston thrown five fewer innings than the Giants out of the pen, and their ERA is 3.30, almost exactly the same
yeah.
as the Giants. And if you look up and down, and even you go to the Dodgers, they are 24th in bullpen ERA because they've thrown the most bullpen innings,
yeah.
which, you know, you start to tax guys. And when you have a bullpen that throws a lot of innings, that means you're using a lot of guys. And, you know, for the Giants, that would be, what, Spencer Bivens and, you know, Sean Jelly at times, you
yeah.
know, your long man. And,
earlier in the year.
Right.
Yeah.
So if things go well for the Giants, then you go Rogers, Rodriguez, Walker, Doval. Those are your four guys for the last, you know, nine outs or so of a game if things are going right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you don't need to look any. You look at the Dodgers this year. You can look at the Giants last year. And Giants the last handful of years at what happens when the bullpen is taxed. Because the Giants, all of last year, Dibs, they went with openers. And not for every single start, but for the entire season, they had like a spot in their rotation being an opener. And I think that's why we pretty consistently, Dibs, over the last, really after 2021, when it was just, you know, best case scenario season and everything went your way, but 2022, 2023, 2024, it's absolutely no surprise to me that each of those years, the team worse in the second half than they were in the first half. Because you're asking, a lot of it is, I mean, Patrick Bailey kind of has this history of hitting worse in the second half than he has in the first half. You hope that does not happen this year, because how could you be worse offensively than he has been so far? But a lot of that, in my opinion, really is just the number of innings you're asking the bullpen to eat. And you get to a certain point where it's a tipping point and a point of no return, and those guys just are not ready to go out there every night with their best stuff. So that's why the last couple of years, around this time of year, you approach the trade deadline. We're now less than 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. I have kind of encouraged the Giants to sell, because I kind of read the writing on the wall. This is not going to continue in the second half. It can't possibly. But this year is different because they have protected their bullpen a whole lot more. But if that starting pitching begins to struggle in spots 3, 4, and 5,
yeah.
then when, you know, the most important time of the year comes around, you might get to a spot where Rogers isn't as reliable, Walker isn't as reliable, and you need Spencer Bivens, as you said, to pitch in the fourth inning of a game.
Right.
Because Birdsong couldn't get out of that fourth inning. And suddenly you're looking at, well, Bivens gave up a couple in the fourth, and now we lost 6-5, or whatever it was, as a result of that. So I'm with you. I'm with you in terms of the strength of the bullpen, but the strength of the bullpen is also almost reliant on at least an average starting pitching group.
For the most part, and you know, I'm just hearing you talk, and I looked at last year in the bullpen, the Giants were number two in most innings out of the pen.
Makes sense.
And they were 15th in ERA. So, and you know, it was a little bit of a different setup last year where, you know, you had a lot of openers and a
yeah.
lot of guys who you needed to get in there early. And this year, you've had, for the majority of the season, you've had the same five starting pitchers. I know Harrison had a little bit of time, and Jelly had a couple of spot starts.
Jordan Hicks
but
very early
Jordan
in the
Hicks
year.
Had about 8 or 9 to begin the year. But now you've got your five-man rotation pretty solid as long as they stay healthy and don't completely blow up. And that's why tonight, for me, is so interesting with Verlander. He gets the ball to start the quote-unquote second half, and so you get a chance to see Verlander, and he'll get three starts before the deadline. And if he doesn't look good, you might be in the starting pitching market. But I'm sure Buster Posey and Manassian are both thinking, we don't want to have to add a starting pitcher because that's very expensive at the deadline.
What do you think is the number one need? Like Buster Posey is gauging teams that might be sellers and that probably are already confirmed to be sellers. What do you think Buster views as the position they need more than anything else? Is it starting pitching? Is it a left-handed reliever?
I think it's a left-handed reliever. And, you know, the starting pitcher, only if you realize that your number three, your number four, your number five aren't going to be able to get it done. And right now, Roop, as your three, he's been great. I mean, all year he's
way
been...
way better than you could have possibly
way better.
Of.
And, you know, Birdsong has been a little shaky of late. And Verlander has kind of struggled for much of the year, but Verlander's got a track record, and you brought him in for this reason, where, all right, Justin, we know what you can do. You know what you can do. Go out there and get it done. The real wild card for me is Birdsong, because he's been just kind of wild. And, you know, you don't need five starters in the playoffs, but you do need five to get there. And so if Birdsong or Verlander shows over the next three starts apiece that they're not getting it, they're not going to be able to find it, I think you may have to go out there and find a starting pitcher. But for me, it's left-handed reliever followed by maybe right-handed bat in the outfield. Because you've got Matos.
Someone to hit lefties.
Right. Like, Ramos is there. Jung-Hoo Lee, you're going to play. And Yaz against righties. But when you face a lefty, you're going to go with Luis Matos as your fourth outfielder. That, to me, is not really where you want to be if you're going to be a playoff team.
I think those are the three spots. Starting pitching, left-handed relief, and then an outfielder. A right-handed hitting outfielder.
Right.
I'm with you. I think those are the three spots. I know some people have talked about second base. I don't think the Giants feel it is a gigantic need to the point of going out and acquiring somebody at the deadline. I know a lot of people view catcher as a position that they have to upgrade in. I don't know if that happens at the trade deadline. Maybe you bring somebody in and you make that a platoon spot potentially with Patrick Bailey, somebody who maybe you're giving up something defensively but is a better, more reliable bat. And then, I mean, we got to wait and see on Devers playing first base because we have a lineup out, Dibs. I want to bring this up. I want to confirm. I think Devers is DHing again today.
Probably, yeah.
I want to confirm this. Where is this here? But if Devers isn't going to play first base anytime soon, I mean, do you need another first baseman? I don't know, because Wilmer Flores playing over there doesn't seem to be something you can rely upon night in and night out. And yes, indeed, Devers is DHing and Dom Smith is playing first base.
Yeah, you got Dom Smith, and I do think that is what you're going to go with at first base. You're going to wait for Devers. If not, you're going to go with Wilmer Flores, and you go with Dom Smith, and you're going to make that work. And I think Casey Schmidt has done enough to where you can put him out there as your second baseman, and he's also a guy who can be utility. You can play him almost anywhere else on the infield, and Adames is better at shortstop defensively than he had been. Chapman is a mainstay at third, and for all the people who want a better catcher, you're not going to find a better defensive catcher and a better catcher who handles the pitching staff. And if you're going to rely on pitching and defense mainly in this ballpark, you need to have a catcher like that. So you're not going to go out there and try to find a good hitting catcher at the expense of what Bailey does there defensively.
Yeah, yeah, I tend to agree. That seems to be, in my opinion, that's down my list in terms of what the Giants might be going for here at the trade deadline. Worst case, best case for the Giants. That was fun. Do you want to do it for the Niners?
Absolutely.
Should we go through best case and worst case for the Niners
coming
up next?
No doubt.
Because I think that might also have a wide range of outcomes.
Well,
I mean, we've seen it the last 2 years.
Especially with the news we got today.
It's true. With Ricky Pearsall going on the PUP list, physically unable to perform list, does not mean he's going to miss regular season games, but there's no doubt this is not good news for the 49ers. We can get into that when we come back. Plus, Moses Moody, Warriors guard wing. Steve Kerr plays him at the four sometimes. He's going to join us coming up in an hour and 20 minutes at 5 o'clock. He just got elected to a leadership position at the NBA Players Association. Plus, he'll tell us about his rehab as he's continuing to recover from the surgery to repair a torn ligament in his right thumb, his shooting thumb. We'll talk to Moses about that and a whole lot more. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
rolling along here on a Friday. Dibs, head bobbing.
Love it. Sorry to the
Cam Williams on the ones and twos, and making you feel something.
And when Cam comes in, he plays some of the favorites from the 90s and the 00s. And you do a nice job when you're in that seat with the rejoiners. And apologies to the YouTube audience, which could not enjoy the outcast there, Rosa Parks. But, you know, Cam is known for the curveball.
Cam's got his own separate page that he's dropped all his personal faves onto. Maybe I need to slide over to Cam's page every once in a while.
Every now and again. I mean, yeah. You do a nice job, as mentioned, and you know, you more focused on like the personality rejoins, like, hey, this is Guy Santos. Hey, Dibs, your picks a stink. Like, I think that's more where your focus is.
Yeah.
Cam's a little bit more dialed in on the music.
I like it. I like it. It is a good job for sure. We've been talking a lot about the Giants, but what we just did, Dibs, was run through best case, worst case scenario for the Giants in the second half. And we obviously found a pretty wide range of outcomes for the Giants. I was wondering what this might be for the 49ers, and as I got to think about it, Dibs, it might just be as simple as looking at the last 2 years. I know that the roster is different now, and it looks, I mean, you still have a lot of the same pillars, right? You got Brock, you got McCaffrey, you got Kittle, you got Fred Warner, you got Bosa, you got Trent. But you don't have Debo anymore. You lost a lot of. You don't have Greenlaw anymore. You don't have Hufang anymore. You don't have. Mooney Ward anymore. So it's a new team. But you just look at each of the last two seasons, Dibs, and you think back to the year they went to the Super Bowl in the 2023 regular season, and you say, well, okay, they just about stayed healthy. And they played really good football, and McCaffrey was an MVP candidate, and Purdy was an MVP candidate, and they're the best team in the NFC, and they go all the way to the Super Bowl, and they fall short. But that was still pretty darn close to best-case scenario. And then last year, that had to be worst-case scenario. Injuries, contract drama, personal trauma for a number of players, off-field injuries, Ricky Pearsall getting shot before the season even began. It almost feels like each of the last two seasons, you've seen the two examples that we're going to be laying out for this team coming up this year.
And pretty close to it. And again, for this exercise of best case, worst case, I try to take injury out of it, especially when it comes to football, because
it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And like last year, you mentioned it, yet you didn't have Trent for a long time. Charvarius Ward had personal unspeakable tragedy, as did Trent Williams.
Yep.
And those are things that, you know, you could never account for. But when I look at the Niners this year, when I think about the best case scenario for the Niners, things are lined up pretty well for them. They have a schedule that is manageable, not only in opponents, but as far as the stack goes, you don't have a lot of, you know, big time travel back to back. You've got a couple of difficult spots, and the rest disadvantage is not existing. Like last year, that was a part of that was a part of the template where your opponents had 20 more rest days than you did.
They were screwed by the schedule.
Yeah, they played, I think, five teams coming off a bye. And one of those times, you also were off a bye.
Yep.
But normally when you're off a bye, you have that edge because the other team doesn't happen to be off a bye, so you get that edge. So I think about this year, best case scenario, taking injury out of it, and it starts with Brock Purdy returning to the year that he had 2 years ago. Last year was not a down year, but it was relative to 2 years ago. So,
oh, absolutely.
If Brock plays like he did 2 years ago, Brandon Ayuk comes back after 4 weeks or 6 weeks, whenever it is, and he's back to being the Brandon Ayuk that we all remember from a couple years ago. Pearsall is able to be your real second receiver. Juwan Jennings gets back to his role as wide receiver three. McCaffrey gets 300 touches, and he's CMC again. Kittle plays up to his level. The offensive line and the guys that you brought in, they fit. Dominic Pooney takes another step up in year two. Trent Williams is the Hall of Fame left tackle that you expect him to be.
I think the rest of the offensive line, Ben Bartsch, Jake Brendel, and Colton McKivitz, the best case for them is just don't mess it up consistently.
Exactly. Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair, and so you look at the defense, and you've got Robert Saleh back, and does the coordinator make a difference? You hope that it does, and then you add in some of the other pieces and the second rounder who you just were able to get into camp, and if he's a real
Alfred
factor.
Collins.
If Alfred Collins is a factor in the A-gap, and you know, Huff and Bosa become threats on the outside and your defense in general returns to being a top five unit, I think that this team has a very high ceiling in a best case scenario.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario, you obviously mentioned like the big names. Purdy plays like he did 2 years ago. And the big one, I mean, McCaffrey's healthy. He's going to be great. That's how confident I am in McCaffrey, even though I think he's approaching his age 30 season, which is generally kind of the tipping point for running backs. But McCaffrey's healthy. I have absolutely no worries there. Same goes for George Kittle. For me, when it comes to best case scenario, it's a lot of the young guys, right? And it's Ricky Pearsall. And I know we're assuming health. That's the big question with Pearsall, but it's Ricky Pearsall, one, healthy, and two, showed what you showed that Monday night game against the Lions late in the year when you were great and Purdy was looking for you over and over and over. It's Ben Bartsch on the offensive line. Again, not messing it up consistently and maybe being a little bit better than we're expecting. And then defense, it's the young guys. Specifically, I mean, you got them all over the place. It's Mykael Williams, your first round pick. It's also Alfred Collins, who you mentioned. Also, C.J. West is a rookie on that defensive line. It's D. Winters. Is he the guy alongside Fred Warner? Is he going to be the guy there? Is it going to be Nick Martin, who you picked out of Oklahoma State early in this most recent NFL draft? And then it's, your young corner, Renardo Green. Is he going to be as good as you think he should be after he had a really solid rookie year? Is he going to take a step forward and be a good sophomore and maybe start playing him into a spot where you feel like he's one of the better number two corners in the NFL? With Malik Mustafa, one of your safeties, probably the safety you have the most faith in already, he's entering his second year but going to miss some time because of ACL repair that he needed to get done this offseason. Does he take a step forward when he's healthy? So I think for me, I can just sum up the best case scenario for the Niners with simply just saying, young guys all at least impress or improve on what they did last year. The first and second year guys, if you hit on last year's draft and this year's draft, the best case is well within reach.
No doubt, and I think about that very factor when you look at last year's draft and, you know, Pearsall and Green and Pooney, Mustafa, Garendo, Cowing, Jarrett Kingston, and Tatum Bethune. That's almost an 8-for-8 as far as guys who you drafted, who came in. They all played, and I know Kingston was mostly a special teamer, and Bethune didn't do a ton on the field as a linebacker, but he was a special teamer as well. So you look at this year, 11 drafted players. If you hit on 6 or 7 again, then you have a team not only for this upcoming year, but for the future where you're starting to rebuild it with young drafted talent. Now, the worst case scenario, and again, putting aside the injury threat, other than, I think, Brandon Ayuk, it's fair to say, worst case scenario, it takes longer than we thought for him to return from the two ligaments that he had to have repaired, the ACL and the MCL. And, you know, he comes back and he's not as effective. And Ricky Pearsall, again, not to dog him with injury here in the worst case scenario, but he's on the PUP list going into camp. So if something were to linger, I think it's fair to say worst case that, you know, if he doesn't have as good a year because maybe he misses camp and he has a slow start like he did last year after the gunshot, Juwan Jennings, if the contract resolution doesn't happen quickly and that...
Or if they just trade him. I mean, right, they could just trade him.
They could. I think that that is something where, you know, again, it's not injury in the worst case scenario, but the Niner front office has shown a penchant for hardlining these deals. So even if it drags and drags and drags up to the start of the year, maybe he has an Ayuk kind of a slow start to his season. And, you know, Brock Purdy, maybe last year was the real Brock. Please stand up. Please stand up. And you hope it's not, but that Brock Purdy last year, he wasn't good enough. And McCaffrey coming up on being 30, is he slowing down? And so you start to go through...
Say the same thing with Trent. Maybe he takes a step back. Not just health-wise, but, I mean, at some point, he can't be great every single year.
Right. Mykael Williams, pick number 11 overall. Maybe he's not the edge you're looking for, and you brought in Huff via free agency or trade.
It was really bad last year. Maybe it's not just as simple as he didn't fit in Philly.
And your secondary is largely young and mostly unproven. Yeah. So if the secondary, if the pass rush isn't great and the secondary is suspect and your defense is again middle of the pack and your quarterback is maybe not worth $53 million because the 1 year 2 years ago was the outlier on the positive side, I think that, from a worst-case scenario, that becomes something that would be really, really troubling, especially considering the easiness of the schedule.
It would be very, very troubling. Yeah, worst-case scenario, it kind of goes hand-in-hand with my best-case scenario. It's you don't hit on your youngsters, and then your veterans, who have been amazing for you, but at some point, they're not going to be great anymore, and I think it's a trio of those, and they're all on offense. It's McCaffrey, it's Kittle, and it's Trent Williams. I mean, those are all guys that are at ages, specifically Trent, but McCaffrey and Kittle were guys in those positions, Dibs. They rarely are as elite as those three have shown they've been as recently as last year or 2 years ago. They're rarely that good at the ages that those guys are now. Like, Kittle, 30. McCaffrey, approaching 30. Trent Williams is mid-30s. Like, at a certain point, those guys are going to stop being one of the best players in their positions across the entire league. And while I don't think it's going to happen this year, it's not like it would be the most surprising thing ever if one, two, maybe all three of those guys don't have career years. Like, that's not a crazy thing to expect.
No, it's not.
Doesn't mean they're going to suck, but are they going to be as good as they have been in the past?
Right, and if you get multiple regressions from multiple players on the offense, and, you know, if Brock Purdy is, you know, just good and not great or even better than great, and think about his year 2 years ago and McCaffrey's, those two were in the top five in the MVP voting. You had two guys on your offense, top five in the MVP.
Two guys
inside
the top five of MVP voting.
One ballot, yes. Well, many ballots. But that speaks to what you were saying earlier about a best-case scenario where, yeah, you were great. You made it all the way to the Super Bowl. You probably could have, should have won that game. Yeah. But you had two guys in the top five in the MVP. So if you were going to ask me, and I know you're going to, oh, time for the legal. But first,
yeah,
like, which is more likely? I think the best-case scenario is more likely for the Niners than the worst-case scenario.
Interesting. I'll give you my answer in a sec, but as you said, it is time for the legal, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. What's more likely for the Niners, the best-case scenario you laid out or the worst-case scenario? And you can let us know, 888-957-9570. That's the number to text and to call. I think I'm with you. I think it is the best case. Now, the big caveat here is we're throwing injuries out the window entirely.
Yep.
And for me,
well, I mean, other than the regular injuries, right?
We're not saying... Yeah.
The regular injuries would be...
But,
like, Trent Williams is going to play 14 or 15 games.
Yeah, Kittle misses a game or two.
Exactly,
McCaffrey
right?
misses one. Maybe
exactly.
Brock misses one. But, like, we're not talking about last year when Trent missed how many? Seven games? And McCaffrey played in four games all year? And, you know... I'm trying to think of who you had that was out.
Well, Fred Warner played, but he was hurt
all year.
The entire year.
You're right, with that fractured ankle that he suffered, I think, week three versus the Patriots. Yeah, so those kinds of things out the window. But the normal NFL injuries that you're going to get over the course of the year, that still happens. But the Niners are in a spot where if they're dudes, the McCaffreys and the Kittles and the Trents and the Boses and the Freds, if those guys stay healthy for the most part, again, miss a game here or there, you still feel confident in them being good enough to carry your team at times. So it's kind of difficult to just ignore those injuries entirely. But I'm with you. I think it's more likely that the best case happens for the 49ers, and a big part of that is one, how good those veterans are, but also, two, it does feel like we have a pretty decent... I don't know. We have some good evidence that last year's draft was a good draft, and Renardo Green could take a step forward and build off of last year. And when Mustafa comes back, he's probably your number one safety when he comes back from the ACL. So I'm with you. I think what's more likely for the Niners, best or worst case, is that best case. Doesn't mean that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I would not be shocked if they get double-digit wins, maybe even 11, 12, if things go really, really well for them. And they could be fighting for a top three seed in the NFC. I would not be shocked at all.
I would not be either. And I think that they should be fighting for sure to be the NFC West champions, yep. which would get you, you know, a top four right there automatic, and it would get you a home game even if you don't get the number one seed and you get the bye. And I just look at the way the schedule has broken down. It's a pretty favorable schedule, and you happen to be getting a last place schedule, and you take on the two South divisions, which this upcoming year, that's the ones you'd want to play, as opposed to, you know, certainly the North, the AFC North, and the NFC North. They're both. Those two are both, you know, a little bit rugged, and so you get the last place schedule combined with, you know, having so far almost no off-season distractions other than the little annoying Juwan Jennings, which hasn't really been a distraction yet. And now you get the Ricky Pearsall thing where he starts camp on the unable to perform list.
Yeah, that's not good. This question came in on our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. Everything we do there powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Bee's Knees asks us, Dibs, what's more likely, McCaffrey stays healthy or the Niners miss the playoffs again?
McCaffrey stays healthy. And, you know, like you said, staying healthy means you play 14 or 15 games.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to allow for, you know, a 1 week. Something's going to happen where, you know, maybe you tweak this, or maybe you, God forbid, you get a concussion and you're in the protocol and you miss a game. I mean, things.
Don't grab your Achilles ever, Christian.
That's
please.
Right. And well, last year was a weird, like, the knee injury. Was it the LCL or the PCL? One of those other.
Forget. But he had the Achilles tendonitis, the bilateral Achilles tendonitis.
That's right.
All training camp. And then we thought he was going to play week one, and then he didn't.
Right.
And the next thing you know, it's the middle of the year, and he still hasn't played yet.
I remember we were at down there at the Niners for the Monday night game. They open up on
Missed
Monday,
the Jets.
And the news came out like halfway through our show. It was like, what?
I remember hitting the breaking news sounder from back here in the studio.
Yeah, you did. Kind of caught us.
And we were all thinking, okay, he might miss one game. He'll be back week two. And then I don't remember when he actually made his season debut, but it was way, way longer than any of us were expecting.
Yeah, pretty far down the road. So I think it's more likely that McCaffrey stays healthy than it is that they miss the playoffs. And I was running through this earlier, and I did a bit of a deep dive.
Whoa.
You know, I love pen and paper. The Niners' opponents this year, upcoming, they had a winning percentage last year of 415. So their upcoming opponents this year, the Niners have the easiest schedule, quote unquote, based on the record of the teams last year. They had a record of 415 going into this season.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be how it goes. It's not automatic that it goes that way. And for example, I think I have it on this side or this piece of paper. I'll find it. I got paper all over the place. Last year, the Niners' strength of schedule going into the year turned out to be dramatically different than what it was at the end of the year.
Based on what it was based on the previous year's records versus what it was at the end of that season's records.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And historically, that happens a lot. Like, I look at 2024, last year, Philadelphia, the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Going into the year, the teams that they were going to face had a 491 winning percentage.
Okay.
At the end of the year, the teams that they played wound up having a 430 winning percentage.
So it looked like a somewhat challenging schedule, and then it turned out to be very easy.
Turned out to be much easier.
Yeah.
And when I computed the 430, I took out the games that the Eagles played against them. So I just computed the record of the teams in games that did not involve Philadelphia. So that is the way it sometimes goes. So even though the Niners have an opponent's record of 415, the teams that they're playing this year may turn out to be better. They may also turn out to be worse.
Yeah, like what happens every year in the NFL, Dibs, is you have a team, and sometimes teams that go from worst to first. You have teams that finish last in their division the previous year and then finish first this coming year. And we could have this conversation if you want, but I would imagine if you were to poll NFL fans, Dibs, what is the team that you're picking to go worst to first this year? People probably say the Niners.
Probably.
Niners were last year, and while Rams are not a bad team, Seahawks are not a bad team, and hell, even the Cardinals, I don't think they're a bad team. The Niners are probably, in most people's minds, the favorites to win the NFC West. So that would be a worst to first. Another one that might stand out, not that I'm going to pick the Bears to be better than the Lions or the Packers. And Vikings, for me, I have a question about the Vikings. You're going with a quarterback that has no NFL experience. We shall see there. But you expect the Bears to be a whole lot better as well. Maybe they don't go worst to first, but they go worst to second. Who knows? Instead of 5 wins, they win 10 games. Like, that's not out of the question. So that could be a big jump. The Raiders are not a special team, but they'll be better than a 4-win team. So there are so many examples, Dibs, of teams that struggled last year for whatever reason that you would expect to be a whole lot better this coming year.
Right, but worst to first, now that you're saying this and I'm looking at the list, like New England, no chance.
No.
Cleveland,
no.
No chance. Tennessee Titans, no chance.
Not a good division, but yeah, probably not.
The Raiders, no chance.
Not in that division.
The Giants, no chance. The Bears, I'm sorry, no chance.
I wouldn't be absolutely shocked.
I'd be shocked because, I mean, Green Bay and Detroit are for sure
very
better.
Good.
Minnesota, pending the quarterback situation, and I'm not sold on Caleb Williams as a real NFL quarterback just yet, so I'm going to put them as no chance. New Orleans, Shuck is going to be their quarterback, in theory, the unsigned Shuck.
That might be the easiest division in football, although I really like Baker Mayfield and the Bucks.
Right,
but
and Penix in Atlanta is better, and, well, I mean, Carolina's Carolina. So I'm going to say New Orleans, no chance, and then you get to the Niners. So really, the only team with a shot, and it's a good shot, is the 49ers. I'm sorry, but
this is how we feel every year, and then there's a surprise.
Right, but I don't think you can make a case for New England over Buffalo.
Probably not.
You can't make a case for Cleveland ever, let alone over, I mean, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Baltimore.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's the toughest division in football.
Tennessee, I guess you could make a case because
if Cam Ward is just amazing.
Right. And that division
is, if he plays like Jaden Daniels this past year, who knows?
And Houston was only 7 games better than them last year. Houston won it at 10-7.
Only 7 games better.
Well, I mean, New England was 9 back of Buffalo.
Yeah.
Cleveland was 9 back of Baltimore. The Raiders were 11 back at Kansas City. You got to be bleeping me. They've got no chance.
Well, they're going to win more than 4 games, the Raiders, because you got
right.
At least an okay quarterback now with Geno Smith.
So you give the Raiders 9 wins, a generous 9. That's not going to be.
You're not going to win the division.
They're not going to be more than Kansas City and the Chargers.
The point is, that's a jump of 5 games. So just, I mean, I'm trying to make your point that you were talking about. Niners' schedule seems somewhat easy. But just because you're basing it off of what last year was does not mean that the Raiders will be a 4-win team again. I know the Niners don't play the Raiders this year. Or do they? Niners don't play the Raiders, right?
They do not.
No, they don't play the AFC West. But there will be examples of a terrible team the Niners played last year. And honestly, the Bears are an example. The Niners play the Bears this year. Bears a 5-win team this past year. I would not be shocked if they were to win 9, I mean, maybe even 10 games. And that's a big jump, Dibs, in terms of the numbers that you're throwing out, the winning percentage of your opponents on your schedule.
Right, and that's where
not just last to first, worst to first is going to account for those changes. You could just have a jump in 4 more wins from last year to this year.
You could, but I still don't really see it with Chicago, and then, you know, the Giants 3-14. Are you telling me that they're going to be better than Philadelphia and Washington?
Jackson Dart.
You got to be kidding me. Chicago, you can make the case. That's fine. I still don't think. Let's just give them 5 more wins and they win 10. 10-7 doesn't win that division.
No, but that's a much better team than the numbers that you're using to evaluate how easy the Niners' schedule is. That's
agreed.
All I'm saying.
And Chicago should be better with yet another coaching change and a quarterback that I'm not a believer of. And then, you know, the South, if it wasn't for New Orleans' quarterback situation, you could make an argument that, you know, New Orleans might be a team. So worst to first, it happens virtually every year. I don't know how many years have gone by since we haven't had that. I'll look that up. But the Niners look to be the only candidate in my eyes.
They are definitely the torchbearers for that this year. All right, time for a break. And we also have our final prize of our All-Star Week prize blowout to give away this afternoon. We're giving one lucky listener a Giants prize pack that includes a Matt Chapman bobblehead presented by UCSF Health, a Giants puffer vest presented by Ghirardelli, and a Jung Hoo Lee hooded shirt presented by Life Plus. All that we're giving away, and it's happening later this hour. Make sure you're listening beginning at 4:30 to learn how you can win. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.